With God we can worship more meaningfully. With His help, we come before Him and we worship Him, and our desire is for that to be meaningful to Him, and His desire is for that to be meaningful to us. You know, it was not man who decided and designed to have singing as a part of worship. That was God's design, to bring singing into the assembly and to have it as a part of what happens on a weekly basis as we worship and praise our God. So this morning, as we focus in on this avenue of our worship, we want to understand in the first place today that as we think about worship and singing, that it is something that it is prescribed by God. Singing has a prescribed place in New Testament worship. God is the one who prescribed it. Man is the one who follows along with that prescription. But as you think about this, He's the one who put it in here. God is the one who talked about when you come together. He used that phrase over and over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 14. Singing is to take place when we come together. God said that singing is to take place in the midst of the assembly. We'll come back and look at this verse in a little bit later on in this lesson this morning. But God said that's where singing is to take place, when we come together, in the midst of the assembly. He said that this is something that's to take place, that we are to sing to one another. Now, I suppose you could call somebody up on the telephone and sing them a song, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about we come together, and when we are together in the midst of this assembly, we are singing to one another. Now, ultimately, we need to remember that this singing is something that we do unto the Lord. This is not an avenue by which we worship ourselves. This is not an avenue by which we worship each other. This is an avenue by which we worship the Lord. And our attention needs to be directed unto Him when we come together and as we sing together. Can you imagine living during those days of the Old Testament? Can you imagine living in those days when, as worship to God, you were to bring a sacrifice unto Him? You were to bring an animal sacrifice as a part of your worship in that Old Testament system. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't live under the Old Testament. I don't know how some of us who are weak in the stomach could have handled some of what transpired in the sacrificing of those animals. But that does not mean that just because we live under the New Testament, that we no longer bring a sacrifice to our worship. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it talks about the fruit of our lips is to be offered unto God as a sacrifice. And so in our worship, we come together and we sometimes call it a corporate worship assembly, where the church gathers together and all of us come together and we worship together. But in this corporate assembly, the worship is being done by individuals. Being done together, but being done by individuals, and it should be having an impact on us as individuals as we worship together. Our singing has a prescribed place in New Testament worship, but not only a prescribed place. If we will think about it, singing in New Testament worship has a powerful purpose. Why did God put singing in our worship? I want you to think about three reasons this morning. Three purposes that singing has in the midst of a New Testament worship assembly. Why did God want us to sing? First and foremost, we come together to sing in order that we might praise our God. That's why we sing. That is the fruit of our lips in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. That is the sacrifice that we offer unto God. Sometimes you look at that green book that's in the rack in front of you, and sometimes we'll call that a hymn book. Sometimes we don't know what a hymn is anymore. But if you look that word up, It simply means it is a praise offered unto God. And so when we sing hymns, when we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, these are things that are being offered as praise unto our God. Someone once said that the reason Christians sing is because they've got something to sing about. Isn't that the truth? Why do we come together and worship? Why do we come together and sing in our worship? Because we've got something to sing about. We've got a God that we have to praise and to honor. And when we come together and we sing, it is an opportunity for us to express our adoration for God. In Psalm 18, David said in Psalm 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then see if you know this verse. And three verses later, in Psalm 18 and verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. You know the rest of that verse? You know it. Why? Because we sing it. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. When we come together to sing, it's to offer our adoration to God. It is an opportunity for us to say unto our God, you alone are my strength. You alone are my redeemer. It is an opportunity for us to say unto God, you're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. I love you more than gold or silver. Can we sing that? Only you can satisfy. As Christians, we come together and we sing, Christ, we do all adore thee. Those aren't just words in a book. Those aren't just words on a screen. Those ought to be words and thoughts that come from our heart. As we express our adoration to God, as we come together to express our joy to God. As Christians, do we have anything to be joyful for? When we come together to sing, should our hearts not be full of joy? James 5 and verse 13. If anyone is merry, let him do what? If anyone's full of joy, let him do what? Let him sing. We come together and we sing unto our God because our hearts ought to be full of joy. What do we have to be joyful for? You think about the salvation that we have. You think about the promises of God that we have. You think about all the blessings that God has given unto us. And do we not have something to be joyful for in our singing? We sing songs that say, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know He is with me, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, you know what that says? He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? What does the song say? He lives within my heart. Do we have something to be joyful for when we come together to worship? Do we have something to express our thanks unto God? That's why we sing. When we praise our God, we are expressing our thanksgiving unto Him. You probably know Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. But do you know what the next two words are? They're in the next verse, and so sometimes we don't even look at them. But there's just a comma at the end of verse 19. The next two words of that sentence say, giving thanks. In our singing, we give thanks unto our God. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. When upon life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, you think all is lost. What do? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it might surprise you what the Lord has done. Do we have a reason to praise our God? We have a reason to offer our adoration to Him. We have a reason to offer our joy to Him. We have a reason to express our thanksgiving to Him. And even as a part of our singing, We come together to sing and to express our commitment unto Him. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were arrested in the city of Philippi. They were beaten with many stripes. The Bible says that they were thrown and locked and put into shackles in the very inner prison there in the city of Philippi. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, but, first word in that verse, all of this bad stuff had happened to them, but Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to the Lord at midnight. What were they doing? Why do you think Paul and Silas were there singing unto the Lord? Perhaps they were singing unto the Lord to express, no matter what happens to us, God, we are committed to You. Do we sing songs that help us to express our commitment unto God? Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Do we sing songs? Or we commit ourselves unto God. Pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Take me to Your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I am here to stay. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. You think about the songs that we sing, and why do we sing them? We sing them to praise our God, to express our commitment unto Him, and to express to Him how much we need Him. Matthew 26 and Mark 14. Jesus and His disciples were leaving the upper room. They were leaving the upper room in verse 30 of Matthew 26 and verse 26 of Matthew 14 or Mark 14 tell us that they were going to the Mount of Olives. They were going to the Garden of Gethsemane. They were going to the place where Jesus would pray and His sweat would become great drops of blood. They were going to the place where Jesus would be betrayed. They were about to embark on the event that would ultimately lead Jesus to the cross. And in these two verses, it's interesting that the Bible tells us what they did before they left the upper room. What did they do? They sang together. What did they sing? Why did they sing? Is it possible that they sang at that moment in order to express to God how much they needed Him? I need Thee every hour. I don't need You sometimes. I don't need You just in the bad times. We sing unto our God to tell Him how much we need Him all of the time. Perhaps in that upper room they sang a song that sounded like, "Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without You. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need Thy strength to lean myself upon." We come together and we sing because it is there is a prescribed place for it in our worship. We sing because it has a powerful purpose, and first and foremost, it's to praise our God. But the Bible also says that as we sing in order that our singing might have an influence on one another. In Ephesians 5:19, those first three words involved in our singing are speaking, first four words, speaking to one another. Our singing is vertical. Primarily it is vertical, pointed up to our God in heaven. But sometimes our songs are horizontal, to where we are able to sing a song, and all of our songs we're singing to one another as we are singing to God, but some of them even more so, are sung in order that we might influence each other as we sing. And that's the intent. That's one of the powerful purposes of singing. And as we sing to each other, one of the things that we do is we teach one another. Colossians 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And what does the rest of the verse say? Teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When we sing together, it is a reflection that the Word of Christ is dwelling in us. And as we sing, we are teaching one another. We just sang, there is, beyond the azure blue, a God concealed from human sight. There might be a lot of things about that song, but there may be opportunity for us to teach one another as we sing that song together. As we reaffirm to each other the truth that is found in that song. We sing songs like, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way while we do His good will. Are we teaching one another when we say, while we do His good will? He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. And we teach one another by saying, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Is this true? To be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. We teach one another. And as we are singing, we edify one another. We build one another up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible says, let all things in the assembly, including our singing, let all things be done for edification, to make us stronger. When you come here, do you want to leave stronger than when you came? When you go out into this world, into the requirements of this world and the life that we live, do we want to leave here built up and stronger because we have been together? Part of that is because of our study of the Word of God. Part of that is what we do when we sing together, where we encourage each other. We encourage each other when we sing, I care not today what tomorrow may bring. If shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth over everything. And all of my worry, it's vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm we're safe in His sheltering arm. You know why? Because we're living by faith. And we feel no alarm when we sing that together. We sing that to praise our God and to tell Him how much we need Him. But we sing that in order that we might encourage and edify one another. When we sing, stand up for Jesus. Is that not what we are doing? Edifying. Soldiers of Christ arise in songs like that. But sometimes our songs, as they are sung to influence one another, we sing them sometimes to admonish one another. And that's an interesting word in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. That word admonish means to warn, to gently warn each other. Well, why in the world would we ever sing songs? God told us to do it, teaching and admonishing one another in your songs. Why would we ever sing songs to warn one another? Well, think about some of the songs we sing. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. What's going to happen on that great day that's coming by and by? There's going to come a Savior who's going to separate one from another. And there's going to come that day when the sinner shall hear his doom, depart, I know you not. You know what that song says? Are you ready for that day to come? We sing that to get into each other's hearts. We sing that to admonish one another and to make sure that we are ready for the coming of our Lord. What about when we sing, Almost Persuaded? Harvest. It's past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost but lost. We sing to influence each other. Make sure that we are ready for the coming of our Lord. We sing. And as we sing to one another, we do it in order that we might unite together. in order that we might be grow, that we might grow together closer and closer as a body of people, teaching one another, speaking to one another. As we come together and sing together, it helps us to identify with each other. We are in this together. We are striving together for the faith of the gospel. We are a united body who is longing to work together for the cause of Christ. And so we sing songs to say, into our hands, not my hands or your hands, into our hands, the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. It unites us in that common goal that we have of teaching the gospel. We sing a common love for each other. We sing love one another, for love is of God. We sing, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. We sing, we're part of the family that's been born again. Have you ever been to a sporting event? You've been to some event where they sing the national anthem? Usually it starts out with one person with a microphone out on the field singing the national anthem. But what happens? Everybody in the stands starts to sing with them. And all of a sudden, by that one song, where you're standing in the stands, you're there in the seats, you don't know the people that are around you, never met them before. But all of a sudden, this one song being sung together brings you together in a bond that you didn't have before. You may not have it again, but all of a sudden you feel a unity with the people around you that we are proud to be Americans and we're thankful for the heritage of this country. Isn't that what singing does in the assembly? Where we come together and we sing. Oft we come together and oft we sing and pray, but Lord, today we bring our offering together. I'm not here alone. I'm here with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we influence one another by our singing. Singing has a powerful purpose. Praise God, to influence one another. But our singing would fall short if we did not realize the effect that it is to have on us individually. Does singing influence you personally? Does singing, when you sing unto God, does it help you? Does it remind you that there is a God and He is alive? Why do we sing that song? Why do we sing it so often? Why do we sing it so well? Why do we love that song perhaps more than any other song in our book? Because it reminds us of the most fundamental of all truths, that there's a God who's out there and He loves me and He cares for me, and I don't need to be ashamed that I believe in Him. It affects me. It reminds me of Jesus when I sing. It reminds me of what Jesus did for me. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have. And we sing that and we think, my Lord stayed on that cross. He died alone for you and for me. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. See from His hands and His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? When I sing, it gets into me, gets into my heart, and reminds me of what my God has done for me. When I sing, it draws me closer to God. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayers. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love Him so. When I sing, it draws me closer to my God. When I sing, it comforts me. It comforts me in my sorrow. Does Jesus care? when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? When my sad heart aches until it nearly breaks? Does he care? Is he off? Does he see? What's the answer to that question? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. No, the days are weary, my long nights are dreary. I know my Savior cares, and I sing. And when I sing, it helps to comfort me in my sorrow. When I sing, it helps to encourage me in my service. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I can't sing that unless I want to be a worker for the Lord. I can't sing that unless I want to be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. When I sing, it ought to affect me personally. It ought to strengthen me in my faith. It ought to strengthen me in my service to God. It ought to strengthen me that I truly believe what the Bible says. We saw thee not when lifted high amidst that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive, they know not what they do, but we believe it. We didn't see it, we didn't hear it, but we believe it. And when we sing, it helps each other and it helps me personally, shouldn't it? To strengthen my faith in God. When I sing, it ought to help to consecrate me in my service to Him. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. When I sing, it ought to affect me personally. It ought to reinforce my hope in God. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, where am I going to be? When that trumpet sounds, where am I going to be? It ought to reinforce my hope that I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be standing before Him. And our singing, my singing, ought to prepare me for heaven. You know, when you read about heaven, there's a lot of singing that takes place in heaven. I hope you enjoy singing, because one of the pictures we have of heaven is there's a lot of singing that goes on there. When I get to sing as a part of my worship, it's helping me to get ready for heaven. It's helping me to get ready to sing with the host of heaven. And it reminds me that there's no tears in heaven, no sorrows given. All will be glory in that land. It reminds me there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way, because He's prepared a dwelling place there for me. As I sing, I need to praise my God. As I sing, I need to remember that we are influencing one another. But as I sing, I need to remember that it needs to affect me and it needs to get into my heart and change who I am and affect me personally. As you think about singing, this month we're focusing in on all aspects of our worship and taking one Sunday for each avenue of worship. What is there? What is there that each worshiper can do to help themselves to make their singing more meaningful? We're going to have this as a part of every lesson. We had it last week as a part of giving. How can we make our giving meaningful every week? How can we make singing meaningful every week? How can you, how can I, as a worshiper, keep singing? I've got to make it personal. I've got to make it practical to me. What can I do to make it meaningful every week? This first part might seem dumb and simple and obvious, but you know what I need to do to make my singing personal every week? I need to sing. When I come to worship, I need to sing. It's not just that He commanded me to do it. I ought to want to do it. It's not about how I sound. It's not about how everybody else sounds. I just need to jump in and I need to sing. And when I sing, I need to remember that I am singing to the Lord. I need to keep my focus. How can I make it meaningful every week? Keep my focus. My focus is on the Lord. The last three words of Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, to the Lord. That's who I'm singing to. Paul and Silas in prison were singing to God. I got to keep my focus. So many distractions, are there not? We come here and we meet with 400 people, and there's 399 of you that are distracting me from my worship. Not really, but that's the nature of being together with other people, right? We distract one another. We need to keep our focus. I'm here to worship and to sing to my Lord. But now at the same time as I'm singing to my God, I don't need to lose sight of the fact that I'm singing to you. And insert in there, I'm not only singing to you, I need to be listening to you. It's not just that I'm singing to you, you're singing to me. And if you're singing to me, what do I need to be doing? I need to be listening to you and hearing you sing and allowing that to impact my life and my heart. And so I need to listen. I need to remember and focus on heaven. I need to focus on the fact that I'm not here alone, that I'm worshiping with those that share a like faith with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15 says, I need to sing with the Spirit. That means I can't be passive in my singing. I can't be lackadaisical in my singing. I need to be fervent in my singing. I need to be sincere in my singing. I need to mean what I sing. And that verse goes on to say, I need to sing with my spirit, with the Spirit, and I need to sing with the understanding also. If there's some songs that I don't understand, I need to take them home and figure out what they mean. When we sing, Here I Raise My Ebenezer, that's one of the favorite things to talk about when we talk about knowing what and understanding what we're singing. Because for a lot of folks, we have no idea why we're raising our Ebenezer. And what in the world does Scrooge have to do with our singing unto God? Because that's all we know about Ebenezer. We don't know the Old Testament. We need to go back and read the Old Testament about the Ebenezer stone and how that was raised to ask for help from God. We need to know what that means. Knight with ebon pinion? Who's that about? What's that about? We need to get into the songs and make sure if we don't know what they ask somebody. Get a dictionary and look them up. I can't sing unto my Lord and sing with understanding if I don't know what I'm singing. And I need to know that when I sing, that the melody that matters is the melody that's in my heart. It does not matter how I sound with my voice. It does not matter how the people behind me sound with their voices. God is not listening to your voice. God is listening to your heart. The voice might sound good. The words might be impressive. But God wants to know, is that really coming from your heart? Do you mean it? Is that melody truly who you are? As we sing, we need to sing with the understanding that our singing is to be done with thankfulness. Colossians 3:16, New King James says, singing with grace in your hearts. New American Standard says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. When I have the grace of God, do I have a reason to be thankful? I need to come here and be thankful and allow that to permeate my singing. And when I sing, I need to picture Jesus sitting next to me and singing. Hebrews 2 and verse 12 says, Jesus is singing in the midst of the assembly. If I sing, I want to be a worker for the Lord, I wonder if Jesus would be singing that next to me. When I sing some of these songs, I need to know that the Lord is right here in the assembly. You want to keep worship meaningful every week? We need to sing with the leaders. We as worshipers, we as singers need to follow the leaders. Sometimes we get so busy looking at the screen or looking at the book or looking around us, we don't know if the leader is trying to sing faster, if he's trying to sing slower, if he's trying to sing louder, if he's trying to sing softer. We're not paying attention to him. It would help probably sometimes if we paid attention to the leader. But speaking of leaders, and we have this every week as well, what can our leaders do to keep our singing meaningful every week? And I've emailed this to our song leaders. So this is not picking on any song leader. And this is not criticism by any stretch. Because I think we have some outstanding song leaders in this congregation. We have outstanding singing because of them. And I'm thankful for that. But are there some things that they could do? Some things that they could remember? Song leaders, realize that you set the tone for our worship. You're up here more than anybody else. Your song selection, and when you sing them and how you lead them, sets the tone for our worship. So give adequate time in preparation. I know sometimes you might be asked at the last minute, but if you're not, give adequate time to preparation and selection of your songs. Help us to enter into the presence of God as we sing together. Have a good mixture of songs as you lead, the newer songs, older songs, fast songs, slow songs, the praise songs and edification songs. Keep the service moving. You know, there's not many people who are using songbooks anymore. Most of us are looking at the screen. So as much as song leaders can, keep the service moving in between songs. Most of the singers are ready to go with the next song, and just keep the service active and allow us to continue worshiping as much as we can. Lead the appropriate songs at the appropriate times. You know, before the Lord's Supper, lead a song that helps us to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Song of invitation, make it a song that is inviting and is encouraging people to think about their relationship with the Lord. Lead songs that the congregation can sing well. There's some songs in our book that are really complex and difficult and hard, whether it be the music, whether it be the arrangement. Sometimes the key is just a minor key and it just doesn't sound right. Lead songs that the song itself doesn't distract us from trying to worship. And then this goes for every man who ever stands before the church in any capacity. Lead in such a way that you are invisible. Lead in such a way that it's not about you. And this is for prayer leaders. This is for preachers. This is for everybody. We're not here because of the man who's standing at the front. The man who stands at the front in whatever capacity ought to help all of us to approach the throne of God and to worship Him. What an awesome privilege God has given us to worship Him and to worship Him in singing. There are several songs that have been selected that Bobo's going to lead us in. Let us think about the prescribed place that singing has. God's put it here. Let's think about the powerful purpose. It's praise to God. It's influencing each other, and it better have an effect on me. And may we praise our God effectively and fervently and sincerely this morning. After we sing three songs, then Johnny Davis is going to come and read to us from Revelation chapter 5 about singing that is taking place in heaven. And then Bobo will lead us in a few other songs, and then we will extend the invitation this morning. Let's worship our God in song. Let us do it in a way that He might be honored and glorified by what we do. You going to be there? What a day of rejoicing that will be, unlike any other. There are some who have gone before us. And by their faithful lives, we are confident. We are confident of where they are. In her closing days of life, Donna Armstrong kept telling her family, 756, 756. Took them a while to figure out what 756 was all about. But in her closing days and hours of life, as she was telling them 756, she was saying, Harold, when we all get to heaven. And we've been singing about getting to heaven. The question is, will you be there? Will all of us be there? Christ has given us His plan. He has given us His blood. And now He has left it up to us whether we will be there with Him for all of eternity. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? In just a minute, we're going to sing words that say, while we pray and while we plead, while we see your soul's deep need. Question is, do you see your soul's deep need? And if you do, why not respond to the invitation of Christ? Why not now? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? That's what God wants us to do. In order to be ready for heaven and to be saved from our sins, His plan is that we believe that Jesus is His Son, that we repent of our sins, that we turn away from every wrong in our life, that we turn away from the desire to serve self and we say, you know what, I want to serve the Lord. I want to give my life over to Him. And through that step of repentance, through that decision that we make to give our lives to God, we say, I don't want to serve self anymore. I want to serve Him. And if you've made that decision today through faith that is in your heart, if you through faith and repentance are ready to confess the faith that is in your heart this day, then you too can be baptized just like they were in the New Testament. Not because the Church of Christ teaches it, but because Christ teaches it. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved.